You know what nobody talks about when they talk about electric aviation? The extension cord? I'm Vector on Clear Direct, Radio Hangar, and today we're going to dig into a company that figured out the infrastructure problem before most of the industry even admitted it was a problem. Beta Technologies, out of Burlington, Vermont, building an electric aircraft and the charging network to feed it. And the way they got there is one of the more interesting engineering stories in aviation right now. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've hit a milestone in your flying first solo instrument ticket, CFI, they make challenge coins that actually mean something, beautifully made, built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's break this down. Beta Technologies was founded in 2017 by Kyle Clark, who has a background you don't see often in aviation startups. He's a Harvard-trained engineer who also happens to be a hockey player and a pilot. The company started with a pretty straightforward question: if you're going to electrify short-haul aviation, what do you actually need? And their answer was not just a better airplane, it was an ecosystem. Their aircraft is called the ALIA, that's A-L-I-A, pronounced A-L-I-A. It's a fixed-wing design with a conventional tail. And here's the thing that separates it from most of the eVTOL world. The ALIA comes in two configurations. There's a conventional takeoff and landing version, the CX-300, and there's a vertical takeoff and landing version. Beta chose to pursue the conventional version first, and that decision tells you a lot about how this company thinks. See, most electric aviation startups went straight for the eVTOL market. Vertical takeoff, vertical landing, air taxi, urban mobility, all the buzzwords. And that's a legitimate market, but vertical flight is the most energy-intensive thing you can do with an aircraft. It eats batteries alive. Beta looked at that and said, okay, what if we build the version that can actually fly meaningful distances first, prove the technology, and then add the vertical capability later? The CX-300 is designed to carry up to 6 occupants, including the pilot, with a range target of around 250 nautical miles on a single charge. Now, I want to be honest with you about that number. 250 nautical miles is not going to replace your cross-country in a bonanza. But think about who actually needs that range. Cargo operators doing short hops between regional airports, organ transplant flights, military logistics, medevac, training fleets. There are enormous markets that live entirely within a 250-mile radius. And here's what most people miss about Beta: they didn't just design the airplane, they designed and built their own charging infrastructure. It's called the Beta Charging System, and it's a standardized Level 3 DC fast charger purpose-built for aircraft. They have been installing these chargers along the eastern seaboard and across the country, building out a network of what they envision as electric recharging stops at airports. Think about it this way. Imagine if in 1925 somebody building airplanes had also started paving runways. That's essentially what Beta is doing. They recognize that you can certify the most beautiful electric airplane in the world, and if there is nowhere to plug it in when you land, you have a very expensive glider. As of this year, Beta has chargers installed at dozens of locations, stretching from Vermont down through the mid-Atlantic and into the southeast. Some of these are at military bases, some at civilian airports. They partnered with the United Parcel Service, or UPS, early on because UPS saw the same thing Beta saw: short-haul cargo routes. The feeder flights that move packages between regional sorting facilities are a perfect fit for electric aircraft. The distances are short, the routes are predictable, the payloads are modest, and the fuel savings compound fast when you're flying the same legs dozens of times a week. Now let's talk about what's under the skin, because the engineering choices here are fascinating. The ALIA uses a single electric motor driving a pusher propeller mounted at the rear of the fuselage. One motor, one prop. If you come from the eVTOL world, where everything has 8 or 12 or 16 rotors, that sounds almost old-fashioned. But Beta's argument is that simplicity is reliability. Fewer moving parts, fewer failure modes, easier maintenance. And a conventional wing generates lift far more efficiently than any multi-rotor configuration. The battery system is integrated into the fuselage and is designed to be swappable in the future, though initial operations will use plug-in charging. Beta has been very deliberate about their battery chemistry choices, working with suppliers to optimize for energy density and cycle life, rather than chasing the absolute highest specific energy at the cost of longevity. A battery that degrades 15% after 500 cycles is useless for commercial aviation. You need thousands of cycles with minimal degradation. That's a harder problem than just making the battery lighter. The avionics suite on the Aelia deserves attention too. Beta is building a modern glass cockpit with fly-by-wire controls, but they've been notably quiet about the specific vendors involved, which suggests they may be developing significant portions in-house. What they have shown publicly includes a clean, simplified flight deck that reflects the reduced workload of electric propulsion. No mixture, no prop control, no fuel management, no mag check. The engine monitoring page on an electric aircraft looks fundamentally different from what you're used to. Battery state of charge, motor temperature, power output, and remaining range. That's most of it. The data tells an interesting story about what electric propulsion does to the pilot's scan. When you remove the complexity of a piston or turbine engine, you free up cognitive bandwidth. No more watching cylinder head temperatures climb on a hot day. No more worrying about whether the fuel selector is on the right tank. The failure modes are different, simpler in some ways, less familiar in others. Beta has also been doing something very smart with the military. They secured contracts with the United States Air Force through the Agility Prime program, which is the Defense Department's effort to accelerate electric vertical takeoff and landing and electric aircraft technology. The Air Force has been evaluating the ALIA for logistics, medevac, and special operations support roles. And this is not just a study contract. Beta has delivered aircraft to the military for evaluation flights at Joint Base Andrews and other installations. Why does the military care? Because electric aircraft are quiet, drastically, fundamentally quiet. A conventional helicopter announces itself from miles away. An electric aircraft in cruise produces a fraction of that noise signature. For military operations where acoustic detection matters, that changes the calculus. And for domestic military logistics, the operating cost reduction is significant. The Air Force spends an enormous amount of money moving people and supplies short distances between bases using helicopters and light transports that burn jet fuel at rates that would make your eyes water. Now I need to give you the honest caveats, because this is clear direct, and we don't do hype without context. First, certification. Beta is pursuing Federal Aviation Administration type certification for the CX-300 under Part 23, the normal category. They have been flying prototypes and building toward conforming aircraft, but they have not yet received their type certificate. The FAA is writing the rules for electric propulsion certification in real time. There is no existing regulatory framework that perfectly fits a battery electric fixed wing aircraft. Beta, Eviation, Pipistrel, and others are all essentially co-developing the certification standards alongside the FAA. That takes time. Anyone who gives you a firm certification date for a novel electric aircraft is guessing. Second, range. 250 nautical miles is the design target in optimal conditions. Battery performance degrades in cold weather? It degrades over time with charge cycles. And you need reserves. When you apply the standard IFR fuel requirements, or the electric equivalent, your usable range shrinks. Beta is based in Vermont, so they are acutely aware of the cold weather challenge and have invested in thermal management systems for the battery pack. But physics is physics. A lithium-ion battery at negative 20 Celsius does not perform the same as one at 25 Celsius. Third, the charging time. Even with level 3 DC fast charging, you're looking at roughly 50 minutes to go from a low state of charge to something near full. Compare that to the 5 minutes it takes to fuel a conventional airplane. For scheduled cargo operations with predictable turnaround windows, that's manageable. For on-demand operations, it's a constraint. Battery swapping could solve this eventually, but that adds complexity to the aircraft design and requires standardization across the fleet. Here's where I think Beta's real genius lies, though. They understand that electric aviation is not just an airplane problem, it's a systems problem. You need the aircraft, you need the charging infrastructure, you need the grid capacity at airports to support that charging, you need the maintenance ecosystem, you need the training pipeline, you need the regulatory framework. Beta is working on all of these simultaneously, instead of building a beautiful airplane and then discovering there's nowhere to plug it in, and their approach to growth is refreshingly grounded for a startup in this space. They're not promising flying taxis in downtown Manhattan by next year. They're targeting cargo first, military logistics first, known routes with predictable demand, and building outward from there. If the CX-300 proves itself in revenue cargo service, then the economics and the operational data justify expanding into passenger operations, into the eVTOL variant, into longer-range follow-on designs. Kyle Clark said something in an interview that stuck with me. He said the hardest part of building an electric aircraft company is not the aircraft. It's everything around the aircraft. The ecosystem, the boring stuff. The chargers, the grid connections, the maintenance manuals, the training syllabi. He's right. Aviation history is full of brilliant airplanes that failed because the infrastructure wasn't there. The de Havilland Comet was a magnificent airplane. It didn't fail because the concept was wrong. It failed because the knowledge of metal fatigue wasn't there yet. Electric aviation won't fail because batteries aren't good enough. If it stumbles, it'll be because someone forgot to build the charging station. So where does Beta stand right now in the competitive landscape? They're not the flashiest name in electric aviation. Joby gets more headlines. Archer gets more investor attention. But Beta has a charging network in the ground, military contracts generating real revenue, and a conventional takeoff and landing aircraft that sidesteps the hardest certification challenges of vertical flight. In a field full of promises, they have poured concrete. Is it guaranteed to work? No. Battery energy density still needs to improve. The certification timeline is genuinely uncertain, and the economics of electric cargo have to prove out against established operators who have their fuel costs dialed in. But the engineering logic is sound. Start simple. Build the infrastructure. Prove the economics on easy routes. Then expand. It's not sexy. But the data suggests it might be smart. Sources for today's segment include reporting from Aviation Week, The Air Current, and public filings with the FAA. Head over to RadioHangar.com if you want the links. I'm Vector. Build the charger before the airplane. That might be the smartest sentence in electric aviation. See you next time.